speaking to you this morning with some fear and trepidation, because even after all these years, we come upon some things that are difficult. I want to read to you the first 8 verses of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, or maturity, grown-upness, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, God permit. You see what, I said the first 8 verses, didn't I? For it is impossible. Now, mark this. It doesn't say it's unlikely.
Yeah.
He said it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Impossible.
Yes, sir.
To be restored.
Guaranteed.
That's not backsliding.
No.
Well, I won't start now. Seeing they crucify to themselves afresh the Son of God, they crucify unto themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned, just like those branches. By the way, for those of you who aren't farmers, Joe, I'm not criticizing. When you purge a vine, you cut all of the vines off except the 2 buds that join with the main stalk. And then you're liable, depending on the vigor of the vine, you might even take some of them. But you can't carry any illustration, even the parables of the Bible, on to the last degree. But that's what purging the vine is to take out the extra wood. If you leave it on, will it bear? Yeah, but they'll be little bitty things. They won't be big fat ones. The early church was a mixed multitude. I'm saying the church of the apostles' day, of the day in which they lived, was a mixture. With the conversion, with the regeneration and the conversion of Cornelius, it became a mixed multitude.
Yes, sir.
Part of the Jews were in that multitude for one reason, and that was to bring believers back under the bondage of the law.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now, we talk about the law of circumcision, certainly. But I'm also talking about the ceremonial laws of that Moses gave to the people, the law of sacrifice, the laws concerning criminals, the laws concerning, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, for instance. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, if a man smite thee upon the right cheek, turn to him the left," and we've made a joke out of that. So it was the ceremonial laws of Moses, and that time came to an end when our Lord arose. Somebody said when he was crucified? No. When he arose, that was the approval of God upon the work that he had done.
Yes, sir.
And ascended unto the Father and was received by him.
Amen.
This chapter is a parenthetical. It's inserted into what was before it. And what was after it is not connected with this. that is chapter 7 and chapter 8 and chapter 9, are not connected with this at all. The great controversy in that early church, and I don't want to bore you with details, was just this. It was necessary, or was it necessary? They preached that it was, but the question was just this. Was it necessary for the believer to follow the law? Any law. They picked circumcision as the one that they would emphasize. Was it necessary for them to follow any law for acceptance with God or for a walk in this life that has the approval of God? You have to try to keep the law, even though you can't. They wanted to bring them back under the bondage of the law, and the answer was a resounding no.
Amen.
No.
That's it.
And I tell you, I have mixed feelings sometimes. You know, this old judge that tacked up the Ten Commandments in his, what, in the hall of his court or in the courtroom? I don't have much sympathy for him.
Right.
Not really. Because the Ten Commandments, though the basis for civil law in our country today, is not the basis for civil law everywhere. Besides that, the Ten Commandments have nothing at all to do with regeneration except as a schoolmaster.
Amen.
When you realize you can't do it,
exactly,
and you're serious, you go somewhere else where you can, and that's Christ.
Amen.
So, there are not many people today that will accept just what I said just now. That ye are not under any law. None. Oh yeah, you better not drive 80 miles an hour on the turnpike. That's civil law. I'm talking about God's law.
Yes, sir.
And people say right now, well, that's man's law, not God's. Well, I say you can't keep God's law. You can keep man's law most of the time, but you can't keep God's law at all. I hear that hunting season quite a lot on the porch out there. They talk to me about being God's law and man's law. There are not many people that will accept the fact that the Ten Commandments have no basis in receiving life or in living that life. They'll not accept it. The law, insofar as the... What do you mean, Earl, the law? I defined it before. I mean the Ten Commandments and all of the ceremonial law. All of it. They were but shadows.
That's right.
Just shadows. The law, insofar as the believer is concerned, remember that, insofar as the believer is concerned, is dead. It was and it is. Now, Paul's telling these Jews in the epistle to the Hebrews, it's time that you grew up.
Yep, that's right.
Well, he tells them, if I can see it quickly, he tells them very clearly that they are just babes in Christ, that he's got to feed them with milk and not with meat, because they're unable to bear it.
That's right.
But he preaches to people the truth of God. He feeds them the meat of the word because they have their senses exercised that they are able to distinguish between good and evil.
Amen.
Listen to what Paul says. If you know, I have to cite these scriptures. Here's the apostle's position. Galatians 3:11. Let's do Galatians 3:9 first. Christ is become the end, or no, I got that wrong. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever are justified by the law, ye are what? Fallen from grace. That's the only way I know for you to fall from grace. That's preachers right. Get up and preach about falling from grace. The only way I can know the scriptural way is to try or to profess to be justified by the law.
That's it.
Look what he said in chapter 3 and verse 11. That's chapter 5 and verse 4. He said, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Is evident, for the just shall live how? By faith.
Amen.
Well, Earl, what was the law for? The scripture answers that question also. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter and verses 9 through 13, Paul writes this, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man.
Amen.
Well, I'm not righteous. If you're in Christ, you're righteous.
Yes, sir.
For he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness. Mm-hmm. Everything that we need is in him.
Yes, sir.
The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now go ahead and take your place. For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he hath committed unto my trust. That's who the law is for. Now, if you're going to be justified by the law, you're going to have to put yourself in that category.
Exactly.
And it still won't work.
That's right.
Now, you know, you go around, and I may repeat myself here this morning. You get acquainted with a lot of people, and you have a lot of casual acquaintances, and all of them have their own ideas about, quote, religion, unquote. And they're just quick to say, here's what I believe. Here's the way I look at that. Well, you look at that, John, differently than I do. You don't see that like I do. Well, I read the words.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this. If you give anybody these passages or one of these passages and they disbelieve it, it doesn't matter if you give them 50, they're still going to disbelieve it.
You're right.
They're going to reject it. And that's the truth. Just as sure as I'm a foot tall. There is no saving power except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is God manifest in the flesh. He's in the flesh now.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And he was made to be sin for us that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
I'm a righteous man because of Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And because of his death. If you're in Christ, if you've laid hold of him by faith, you're a righteous man or a righteous woman. And sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law, but under grace. Well, what does that mean, Earl? That means the law can't condemn you.
Amen.
You can't be condemned by something that you aren't under. I'm not under the law of Venezuela. They can't come over here and condemn me because I'm not under their law.
That's right.
Or anywhere for that matter. They can't do it. This is the only way. And this way cannot be changed.
That's right.
I said last week, or the week before, I'm not sure, I was reminded, and I was reminded of it again today. Old gospel song that says, when I reached up and he reached down. That's not right.
No,
that's not right. He reached down.
That's it. Amen.
He reached down. But it is right. Did I quote you this? I don't remember. The fact is that he took us out of the miry clay.
Amen.
He took us out. He set our feet on the rock to stay.
Yes, sir.
He put a song in our hearts today. A song of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Yes, he sir. Did it. Now, Walter nor I, either one, and I'm speaking for Walter, and you can tell him I did. If he don't like it, he can tell me. We don't see it all. Either one of us.
See it.
We don't see it all. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we, all of us," Paul includes himself, "see through a glass darkly." It's like trying to look in the back of my van through the rear windows. It's really seeing through the glass darkly.
Yeah.
But then, face to face. When? When I see him.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to see him face to face. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. That's going to be a reality. He is coming again.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to say it. I've got to. It doesn't matter how many people tell me that we're living in the kingdom of God now.
Yeah.
I have to reject it according to the word of God. If Walter and I cannot base what we preach on this word,
that's it.
It's a lie.
That's right. That's it.
Amen.
It's a lie. And you can challenge anything either one of us preach at any time with impunity, without fear of anything, if it's not in the book. If it's not in the book. In fact, it's your obligation to do that.
Exactly.
If it's not right. And you'll not hear that anywhere else, I don't think. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then I shall know even as I am known.
Yes.
I'm going to know you like God does. And you're going to know me the same way. And how is that, Earl? It's in Christ.
Amen.
You know what makes up the difference? Faith. The gift of faith makes up the difference. You say, well, you're not where you were going yet. Not yet. No, I'll get there maybe. And Paul repeats himself in 13:9. When he says, for we know in part, and we preach in part.
Yes, sir.
But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I'm looking forward to the coming of Christ.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church as the blessed hope of the church. Let others preach what they will. We'll take it from what Paul said, won't we?
Yes, sir.
We shall not all sleep. We'll not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him, the Lord, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to return with him. So are you.
Yeah.
If you're in Christ. And don't let your mental glasses become fogged when these fellas tell you that there is no kingdom on this earth except the one we're in now. Will God help us? I agree, and Walter and I agree on this, that there is a kingdom now, but it is a spiritual kingdom. With anybody with eyes can see that. We know that Satan is not bound today. We know that.
That's right.
And Christ said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, to preach anything else is to deny what the book says.
Amen. That's right.
Now, that's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
I can't help it. And he won't do it. He won't do it. But if Walter should do it, I'd have to say so. I'd have to.
Yeah.
If I would do it, Walter's under obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are. Now, we know in part because we're still sinners. And our minds are clouded. You remember the old song, "Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows to tell of the Savior that which he knows. Once more to tell it would I embrace, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." Only a sinner, saved by grace. We used to sing this. Only a sinner, saved by grace. I don't know how many of the people that sang that line believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that you do. This is the story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
Amen.
That's all. That's all. Anything other is adding to. We don't get anything right when we begin to insert our own thoughts. We have to follow the book. Nor can we build a doctrine on one or two isolated passages of Scripture.
Amen.
Which some people do. I believe this is correct now. He'll correct me if it isn't. Mac, you were told that these people in Romans 6 were backslidden believers, weren't you?
Yeah.
And the same way with Hebrews 10. All right, let's look at... So we don't get anything right when we begin to look at through the eyes of men. We must have a "Thus saith the Lord." And our Lord said, "I give unto them," who? Believers, "eternal life, and they shall never perish." John 10:28. It's right there. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for my Father that giveth them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand." Let the JWs come in swarms. Or the Muslims come. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Can't happen.
That's right.
Eternal life belongs to the believer.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God gave it to him by the Spirit of God and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He has life. Now, anything to the contrary, notwithstanding, is not true. Come along here and tell me that this is backslidden believers. Like one preacher said, "I believe the blessed doctrine of backsliding and practice it." I'm sure he did. Everything else is the wisdom of this world.
That's right.
And it's in vain. You don't like, or some don't like, not you, some don't like the doctrine of total depravity. They don't like that at all.
You're right.
They would rather hear something else than the base degeneration of mankind.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that there is none good. That includes me and you.
Amen.
No, not one. We have each and every one of us gone out of the way. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, Christ, the iniquity of us all.
Right.
He did it. So if you don't like the doctrine of total depravity, you ought to read Romans, the 3rd chapter.
Yeah.
That'll give you the scene.
Yes,
if you've got a little time, you can read 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Because 1, 2 are important also.
Yeah.
But that'll give you the picture of what man is.
Yes, sir.
Some don't like unconditional election.
Oh, yeah.
Or they don't like that at all. You mean to tell me that if I don't even try, I can be saved? I'm telling you, you better not try if you want to be. That's what I'm telling you. The election of God is unconditional.
Amen.
It right. depends on nothing that the sinner is, was, or ever shall be. It's saved by grace. Sola gratia.
Yeah.
Grace only. Solely grace. You can read Romans 9, and I'll let it go with that. If you can read Romans 9, you'll see it there. Unconditional election. Now, here's one that's tough. There are hundreds and thousands upon thousands of people that will not see the doctrine of a limited atonement. They say, well, Earl, I can agree with you until you come down to that place where you say that the atonement of Christ is limited just to the elect. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and I can add this, no one else.
That's right.
No one else.
That's it.
Now, Christ said that.
Yes, sir.
Now, in order to deny that, I have to call him a liar. Or somebody puffs up and says, well, you don't see it like I do. Well, can you read?
I see it.
Amen.
Of course you can. I don't mean you folks here. I just won't hear of it. You should read Ephesians 1 along with Romans 9 again, and read John 6 and John 10.
Amen, sir.
That'll tell you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. It doesn't say anything about them knowing him. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
Now that's what it says. You can see it, and you can read it. Okay, they say, well, they're going to object. If they object to that, they're going to object to irresistible grace too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When God determines to save a man, I agree with Scott Richardson. When God determines and elects to save a man or a woman, he'll do it if he has to kill you.
Amen. Sir, that's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Now, he's done it.
Yeah.
And I can show you that in the scripture, the Corinthian church.
Yeah.
They were a bunch of really outrageous people. And Paul said, because you're like this, many are sick among you. He was talking to believers.
Yeah.
Many are sick among you, and many are dead.
That's right.
That's
amen.
Right.
Because of this. God just whipped them out of there.
Yeah.
Irresistible grace ought to be dropped out of your preaching, Earl. Don't preach that. Well, then there are those who still believe that you can lose your salvation. You can be a child of God at breakfast, and you can be lost by supper time. Is that it? Let me tell you something. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, God looketh upon the heart.
Amen.
And you can appear to be to everybody else just exactly what you ought to be and be filthy before God.
Amen. That's exactly
right.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Well, how can I be clean? Reception and confession.
Yeah.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, we believe the book.
That's it.
Oh, I got a minute or so left. I'll get to these fellas. I'll have to wait to get to 10, I guess. Now, so Paul is laying it right before them. Now I'm going to say it again. These passages will have no effect upon some. Because they're not able to accept it. And if they don't believe this little handful of verses, all of the hundreds that are there won't convince them of any at all.
You're right.
Well, that's discouraging. Well, no. God is doing his work.
Yep.
Now, we go back to Hebrews 6, 4 and 6 just for a few minutes. Who are these people that Paul talks about? These people who we find in in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Actually, I only gave you 2 because I knew that's how far I'd get. Now, Paul says, I want to leave the first principles of the doctrines of Christ. That's what I want to do. Well, aren't they important? Sure they are.
Yes.
You have to know them to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, he said, let us go on unto perfection, not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. I'm not going to preach any repentance to you people. All you've lived is dead works.
Yeah, that's it.
They were in sacrifices daily. Even then, when he wrote this epistle,
yes, sir.
They were still sacrificing in the temple.
Yeah.
And he said, that is dead works. And believe you me, that set their teeth on edge.
Yes, sir.
They didn't like that. Of dead works. I'm not going to preach about dead works. I'm not going to preach of faith toward God. I'm not going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now he says this, for it is impossible. Mark the word.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify unto themselves afresh the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Is that a description of believers? That's the first thing you've got to answer. No, you don't have to answer it. I do. They knew some things about the gospel. These people did.
Yes, sir.
They had been under the sound of the gospel, and they had been joined to a gospel church. They knew about these things that Paul mentioned. They knew about faith toward God. They knew about baptism. They knew about laying on of hands, and I won't stop and explain that, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. They knew these things. It's going to be harder in Hebrews 10. I'll tell you that right now. These people knew these things. They'd been connected with it. And yet Paul says to them, very clearly, that if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, Earl, can't I run back into church next Sunday and rededicate? No. Uh-uh. No, you can't do that. Esau found no repentance, though he sought it with tears.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because God said, Jacob's the man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, that's not fair. Go on, read Romans 9 again. That's the third time you ought to read it. These people knew some things. Paul is not again laying the foundation from dead works. He's going on.
Yes, sir.
They were once enlightened. They heard the truth, and they saw the truth. They agreed that that was true. We've had people in this small place in that position. They've heard the truth. They've agreed that it's true. But I wonder. You see, there's only one way that I can attest to what I believe, and that is my fellowship with and my union with, my fellowship with God's people and my union with Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only way. That's the only way. And my support of the gospel.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can, you know, it doesn't do any good for me to say what I say. Because the old saying is, what you say speaks aloud, or what you do speaks aloud, I can't hear what you say. And I guess that's true of all of us at times. All right, they were once enlightened. I can go, I've told you this before, my time is up. I've told you I can go out to the mall and I can wander around in there and come up. John, I can come up to 30 people, 40, if I want to spend that much time, or how, whatever number, and say to them, are you a Christian? You know what they're going to answer? Yes. Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Sure do. Because I read some time ago, I had it over at Mabscott and I've lost it, where in West Virginia, this was out of the Charleston Gazette, where in West Virginia, 97% of the people profess to be Christians and Bible believers. I said, that didn't leave preachers much to work on, did it? 3% of the whole population. All the rest of them believed. Well, we know that isn't true. Because profession has become a synonym for faith.
Yeah.
Profession means the same thing as faith in Christ. And it won't wash.
Try.
It won't wash. Well, let me try to finish a couple more here. You've tasted of the heavenly gift. What's the heavenly gift? The Holy Spirit. You've tasted. Tasted doesn't, he said to the woman, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them. He didn't say whoever tastes it. Drink it. Unibel used to follow me around it. Should I tell this? Okay, I will. I'm depending on my inner voice. used to follow me around at homecomings. I'd reach, you know, and she'd say, you don't want that. So I pass it by. And that's just the way it was. Some I tasted, but I didn't eat. And if you've been born spiritually, you've got a spiritual appetite and you recognize the gospel.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Now, these were once enlightened. They were convinced of the truth of it. They wanted... Now, I'm walking a fine line here. They wanted to be a part of the fellowship. They actually wanted to do that. They tasted of the good word of God. And you know, the Bible has its effect, even among sinners. Well, you say they can't receive it if they're not God's family. I'm not talking about election now. I'm talking about what we experience in life. They tasted of it. They are like the psalmist who said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word, capital W, became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. See, it doesn't go that far with these people.
Yeah.
They had seen the powers of the world to come. I think that's true. I wonder, I don't know whether I can turn to it or not. We're not going to sing it. I just wanted to call your attention to something that you know already. I'll just look it up. We sing often. And the only reason I say this is I want everybody to see the words rather than just hear the tune. Oh, I was right there and missed it by one page. The old hymn that we sing so often, I will arise and go to Jesus. Do you remember? Come you weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. And when these wounded and mangled and battered, yes, even dead creatures, come before God in repentance and true faith, they become new creatures in Christ. I have to stop there. And they have then seen, not experienced, but seen or tasted of the power of the world to come. They could see what it does. I remember one man from almost my boyhood. That was a fellow by the name of Bill Truitt. He led a dance band in Peoria, Illinois. And he came to a meeting in which the gospel was preached, and in those meetings, invitations were given. You know what I'm saying? We're all used to that. Invitations were given. And in the back of the room, here comes a fellow over the pews. He didn't even go to the aisle. He come over the backs of the pews just pushing people out of his way. And he got to the front and he said, I wouldn't have had time to get out. Well, now, we said, that's silly. Not to him it wasn't.
No. Yeah.
Not to him. Well, that's emotions. Yeah? Yeah, that's emotion. And I see people get all kind of emotional at basketball games and football games. I see them cry when they lose. Grown men. Not girls, not little boys, but grown men cry when they lose a football game. And they say, well, nobody says, well, that's emotion. No, you know what men do? They reach out and get them another one, bud something, and they say, did you notice so-and-so? He was even crying about that. Nothing about it being silly. I'm saying seriousness. We need to get serious. I'll finish. And it's so important that we... And I said it last Sunday, and it's been on my mind continually, and I'm included in this with you. It's so hard to stay focused. And by staying focused, I mean seeing Christ in the midst of our daily lives with all of the kids and the demands that are made and all of the trouble we hear, and the phone rings and you pick it up and say hello and you don't know what's going to come over the other end of it. It's constant. And you can't outlive it, because I'm living proof of that. You can't outlive it. It'll continue. You say, well, when you get the kids raised, it'll be better. Forget that. Just forget it altogether. Well, if I could just see my grandchildren, but forget that. Why is that? Because you never lose your love, and you never lose your sensibilities. And when somebody that belongs to you or is part of you is in trouble, you're in trouble.
Yeah, amen, that's right.
That's all there is to it. And you act on it. And that's the way it should be, inasmuch as you're able. That's the way it should be. Our Father, we're grateful this morning again, though disjointed and sometimes stopped too soon. We pray that your word might strengthen our hearts and that we might become focused on that word and on the person of Christ. For we pray it in his name. Amen.